these types of questions, it's like I always agree with the stick with your initial integrity, no matter how small. The whole like, would you do this to save a million or whatever it is, like, no, because that one choice in that tiny.
One sec, I gotta go get the phone.
Are you getting the phone?
Oh my! I asked him to do that one.
Okay, so this is the opening title sequence.
Yeah, well, how do you guys feel about the ad, like the targeted ads? Like, I didn't even say anything about. There's a brand of what we've actually talked about this drink with Mark Metry, the Olipop brand of drink.
Yes,
I've literally never gotten an ad for this drink in my life, and then I bought some at Whole Foods, and it's like my phone knew I did it.
Well, it
I didn't
does.
Say it. How though?
It's listening.
It's definitely listening.
I literally just watched a video.
But
about
what is
this
it listening to? I'm not
on my YouTube. And the algorithm fed me this video, and it was about that.
Yeah, but I'm not. I didn't say out loud. I'm buying Olipop.
Thank you, sir, for the Olipop.
maybe it's linked to my credit card. Like, how would it know? Credit card or
you're
like my?
You bought it at Whole Foods, right?
You have the app for your credit card.
Whole Foods, owned by Amazon. Amazon owns your brain.
It's just they know everything. It's like
I was on Instagram and I got an Olipop ad, and I was just like, I shouldn't be surprised anymore. I should just be like, oh yeah. But how do you guys feel about that? Like,
if you saw a little movie called Don't Look Up, you would know.
Too early for the segue. Too early.
You would know how big tech has all of your information, and they know everything about you up to the point where how you will die.
All right, Q Stinger. Welcome to the Votary Podcast, episode 39, about Don't Look Up. Before this, we were talking about
poop.
Farting in front of our significant others.
And poop.
Ooh. Oh, well, that was, it's just a continuation.
Yeah.
So, some people don't like to do it?
Don't like to poop? Don't like to poop?
No, yeah. Like,
don't do it.
Don't like to do it in front of their
everyone
significant
likes
other.
To poop.
I don't know if everyone
that's
likes
a book.
It.
Everybody poops.
Everybody,
everybody
poops. Likes to poop?
that's a Freudian thing.
Freud?
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to. Freud, but I just remember learning in AP psychology like Freud's like hierarchy of
needs,
like the different phases that you go through as like where you like derive pleasure from.
Yeah,
as
is
like,
pooping one of them?
Yeah, like yeah. one of the earliest stages of like pleasure in childhood development is like the poop pleasure.
Heck yeah, I believe that.
You had like so much trouble.
I know. My goodness, Cody.
So let us
You're
know.
So honest.
Let us know, guys. Do you fart in front of and or poop in front of your significant other? And does that bring you closer? I'm genuinely curious.
Yes.
Yeah, so just let us know.
Let us know.
Just it's comment.
The first question we've ever asked.
I'll answer.
If you say yes or no in the comments, we'll know what it's about.
Because we've literally never asked you anything.
Just say yes
before.
Or no.
I believe it does make you closer. I believe it's like a milestone in a relationship.
You know, maybe it's really more of a personality thing, right? Because if you have one, I bet this happens where you have one person who they have an affinity towards that already. They're like, oh, I'm really, that's part of like their, them feeling close to you is like, oh, if I get to, you know, just be open with that part of my life, then I feel close to you. But then you have the other person.
That part of your life.
Then you have the other person in the relationship who's just like, no, I don't want ever to, like, go there. And yeah. I wonder if that happens often. And it's sort of like somebody thinks they're being really open.
Let's talk specifics. You're talking about pooping with the door open?
I'm talking about just, like, say one person's, like, it's really important for me to fart in front of my
That's important.
Wife.
No one's having that conversation. That like, just happens.
It's
what?
Really important.
No one's, like... Listen.
It's like
you said your friend had this conversation and it was like it was a big deal for him. He was like, "You right?"
Yeah, I have friends who are married couple and the guy was offended at his wife's level of discomfort in going to the bathroom in front of him. Like he wanted that level of intimacy and felt like it was a barrier of like trust or comfort.
It's really cute.
That's what I'm talking about. And like for one person, it's a big deal. And the other person's like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah, like that's gross. Because like I think in her mind, and this is kind of where I fall, is like I think you want to always, you don't, there's nothing remotely like endearing or attractive about that. And so like if...
A little bit.
Jamin, I 100% agree with you.
I mean, if you just say endearing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I mean...
It's not because of the act. It's just because of like, there's... You just crossed a barrier. It's like,
it's key.
I'm not going to do this with anyone else.
It's key with like how it's done too. Like you were saying, like if somebody's really like proud of it and they're going out of their way, well, that's kind of obnoxious. But if it's just like one of those things where I'm not going to like hold it in and get a stomach ache.
Yeah.
Like we're not on our first
date. No, you're
date.
Not
we're
hiding.
We're not on our first date anymore.
You're not hiding things. You're
that's an important thing though. A distinction to make, right? And I don't feel like I'm in either camp really heavily. I think like, yeah, just like, let yourself be yourself, but I will hold it in. If we're in like a first month of dating or something, it's like
she can't know you're a human.
It's not an option.
No, that's
it's
too
not
much.
An option.
No, that's too much.
You're absolutely right.
There's stages of when you
there's
do
levels
this stuff.
That
yeah.
you reach yeah. where it's okay.
Yeah,
and she has to reach it first. You don't decide when you reach the farting in front of each other phase. The woman decides it's okay or it's not okay.
Like anything else.
I think it's I think
like, well,
it's situational.
I don't know.
It's situational.
I think, yeah.
Jamin was like, will you marry me? And it was love at first fart.
Look, whatever. Yeah, I remember when you first stole my fart. It's all about the individual couple. What works for them? That's all that matters.
Wait, Cody, can I ask you a question?
Oh my god!
Can I be anonymous on this podcast?
Okay, I'm gonna give you.
I said your name.
I'm gonna give you a hypothetical situation. You tell me that this isn't the
all right,
most.
That's
adorable
fine. Let's just be
ever.
Prepared to cut this out of the podcast.
Okay. So
no,
ready?
There's
you,
no way.
You're on the couch with Malia. You know, you guys are just
hanging
out.
She's gonna. She'll be mortified
Ready?
To be in this
so,
situation.
So you guys are watching a movie, whatever, and then all of a sudden there's a little bloop. You hear a little bloop by her.
What's a bloop?
That's a
like a little toot toot. Like
that
a
was
little,
a lady. That was a lady fart. Huh?
It's a lady fart.
A little bloop.
And you hear a little bloop, and she's like, "Oh my goodness! Like I'm so embarrassed." Would you be like, "That was cute." It's just a little. Or are you awkward about it and just try to ignore it altogether?
You're like, say excuse you.
I would turn the movie off and go to bed.
Stop. No, you wouldn't.
I'd say, I'm taking a drive.
You'd make her feel like
we went way too far.
We did way too much.
No, I mean, it's whatever. It's not something that we would like make a big deal out of.
Okay. Let's cut this part off.
Speaking of a wet fart.
Okay, here's the proper segue.
Have y'all seen...
Wow. All right. You just going to fart on my segue?
Well, we kept talking about... I shouldn't have even brought it up. I'm sorry, folks. Sorry, not sorry.
So the algorithm gave you a big suggestion to watch something.
Oh.
And it was a big, smelly, gross video movie.
What? No, the reason I watched Don't Look Up was partially I had heard it was filmed in Massachusetts. Filmed here in Worcester. Did you guys know that a lot of shots were in Worcester?
No,
actually.
I didn't know that.
So in the background is Union Station, is the Amtrak train. It's a lot of the same shots that are in, not same shots, but same locations that are in
Honest Thief?
American Hustle.
American Hustle.
So that is interesting. And then, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, like I'll check out what he's into. And Jennifer Lawrence is like falling off the map for a while. So I was interested. Yeah,
she was Preggers.
Oh, is
pregnant.
That it?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's pregnant.
Isn't she dating?
She's married.
She's married to Sam Esmiel, right?
No, she's not. She's married to this man named Cook Maroney.
Cook Maroney?
I know because
what?
I was there.
You were at the wedding?
I was.
That was
literally
so legit.
Don't even, what are you talking about? You weren't at the
wedding. I was at
her wedding,
yeah.
You were at.
I was. We might have to cut this out because I signed an NDA agreement.
What the hell are you talking
what
about?
What are you talking about right now? I was literally at.
What are you talking about? So glad start
I
talking.
Already know this
so
story.
So how are you? What do you mean?
I don't know if I can say
just
anything
say
on the
it.
Podcast.
Well, NDA
we'll cut it out
what?
If we can't.
An NDA for what?
A non-disclosure agreement.
To
I worked on the day of her wedding. I worked the lights at her wedding.
Oh, your old job is like an event.
And my old job
lighting at, event lighting.
Yes,
but you can't say that you even did it.
I wasn't. I just wasn't supposed to talk about it. But I guess it already happened. It was in 2019. You can look it up. It was in Newport, Rhode Island, at one of the mansions there.
Of course
there.
It was. Of course it was.
Which one was it? Rosecliff?
It was one of the smaller ones. That's all I remember.
Mm.
And
yeah, Newport.
Yeah.
Newport is insane.
I
wow,
was there.
That's interesting.
I was there and I saw her.
I'm
go
glad.
Down
I,
the
I'm
aisle.
Glad I wasn't there. I would have been. I would.
Wait,
have
did
been
you just?
So
were you
sad.
Just there for like setup and prep, and then you left, or were you there for the?
No,
whole,
I was there
event?
For the whole event, and wow. I didn't know what I was going to be there for. So I just showed up at the time and place. They told me to show up. They said to leave your phone in the car, and I did. And then we were having our little lighting meeting on where to set things up. And then all of a sudden, I thought the TV was on behind me because I hear her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, why
oh,
do they
someone's,
have...
Someone's watching Mockingjay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. And then I look behind, and she's wicked tall, by the way. She's, like, way taller than I expected.
What?
She was right behind us, like, talking to a person about, like, the event that was going on. And I was like, holy shit.
We have to cut this out, because now people know that she had a wedding, and she was talking... This could be bad.
She was there. She was
breaking
there.
News.
She was there.
Jennifer Lawrence talked
at her wedding.
And then I saw Adele there. I saw Chris Jenner.
Chris.
I saw Emma Stone.
Emma
Stone. I saw Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer. Amy.
Wow.
It was great. It was a great time. And then I told people where the bathroom was, and I got to talk to Amy Schumer. It was great.
I feel like you and Amy Schumer would get along.
Me too.
She seems like a cool person, but she's just a bad comedian.
Yeah, I don't think she's funny.
I like some of her stand-up.
To talk about fart humor, she nails it.
Well, I
don't agree with him. I
when I say
Amy
bad
Schumer.
Comedian, I just mean like she's not funny. Like she's clearly like a
that's
professional.
How I feel.
She's clearly a professional. Like yeah. She's obviously, it's not like she's like, gets up there and it's like, oh, I did a, I gotta go home. Like, that's a bad comedian.
No. Right? I just think, honestly, I think it's harder for...
Not for me, I should say. I shouldn't just sum up things that I don't like as just bad, even though I do.
Well,
I
share the same opinion about her specifically, but I also do think that for some reason it's harder for women to be fun, like not funny, but to be comedians and to be like, I just think that a guy... The expectations, like...
We have to cut this part out, too.
I think that the expectations...
cut this podcast.
On a guy comedian are, like, lower than a girl in the sense that, like, a guy can talk about the grossest stuff or whatever, and you'd be like, ha-ha.
This,
but then if
yeah.
a girl starts
yeah.
talking about the same subject matter, it for some reason, it's, like, our societal
it's literally
expectations.
Like the poop talk we were this connects to the poop talk because
see, here
it's
on
like
the
it's like kind of gross for women to talk about that
yeah
stuff.
It's just not like as
and people
widely
are like,
expected or accepted
that.
Do you think that's still relevant like that's still true I don't
I
feel
sure.
that way
I feel like when especially if there's like a new one like let's not talk about Amy Schumer let's talk about somebody else
someone
like
who wasn't at Jennifer Lawrence's wedding
right someone else who's a female comedian, you come in and everybody has this expectation that it's not going to be funny, I feel like, in the crowd already.
Really?
Yes.
Dang.
I just like have that feeling and
no,
I
you're
feel
right.
like other
you're
people
right.
have
I,
that feeling too.
I think a majority of people.
Whereas like if it's a new male comedian, they'll come off like, okay, let's see if this guy's funny.
I think it's
but
also,
then,
I think it's also important to delineate between stand-up comedy and like comedic acting because
yeah.
I think that there are some brilliant, hilarious comedic actors who are women, but I, for whatever reason, in the context of a stand-up, I have such, it's such a different experience for me. Like, I've certainly found certain female stand-ups to be very funny, but I don't know what it is. It's just like more rare in my experience.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So Cody is a sexist.
Yeah, I'm
breaking
mean,
news.
Call me old fashioned. I just
think women should.
Well, you. I mean, you
knock
also,
it on stage.
Well, you made what I took from that was you made like. Good comments about like yeah, people just have a different expectation when
yeah,
when a woman
which is what you're. Which
I think it's harder.
Comedy.
Yeah,
which is what you're saying too, Fallon. Is
so they have to be funnier to make.
They gotta like exceed people's expectations yeah. because the expectations are automatically here.
I'm trying to remember what the name of this woman who was one of the funniest stand-up specials I've seen is a woman from. I can't remember the country. I think Ghana. And she, I can't remember anything. But she was a woman. And she was hilarious. That's all
I
had.
That's the point.
There once was a lady
the point of it.
Who was funny.
The point of it.
Wow. All right. No, we're not cutting anything in this podcast except that moment.
All right. Thank you.
Just kidding.
Thanks for coming on, Jay.
Guys, I
wow, we are really struggling to talk about this movie.
I know.
I can bring us back on track.
let's give a good segue to the movie.
Segue or summary? Synopsis?
No, I mean, like, let's actually segue, transition into talking about the movie.
Talk about a wet fart. Have you guys seen...
let's just try a few segues rapid fire, and we'll use whichever one works the best. You know, at Jennifer Lawrence's wedding...
Speaking of Worcester...
Speaking of Worcester, Jennifer Lawrence and potty humor.
Those first few shots with the tea and then the telescope and the music and her rapping to Wu-Tang and all of that, I was like, this is way better than I kind of assumed going in, which obviously the only reason I watched it is because you guys said it was worth watching. I don't know if I would have watched it otherwise. But
was it worth watching?
I think
not,
it's worth
not
watching.
To cut to the two.
No, I think it's worth seeing. I also didn't really know anything about it, so you had said, Cody, I think like, oh, I had like expectations that it was just going to be like overly political or something, and I was like, political? What is this movie? And then I heard it was Adam McKay, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
I know what kind of thing it's going to be then. I think, and it was kind of that, but yeah.
I mean, by far, his best movie, in my opinion, is The Other Guys. And
what? No. Big Short.
No.
Dude, The Big Short is so good.
I didn't like The Big Short.
The Big Short is good. It's a good movie. But, like, if we're trying to put him in the category of a comedic writer, like, The Other Guys is actual comedic gold. And the other movies that he's written are, like, weird... blends of comedy wrapped in like a very serious political comment.
I really enjoy the way that he he finds that blend of like comedy and drama and just like snappy editing and like just enjoyable to watch.
Honestly, why I like The Other Guys the most may be because of the presence of Will Ferrell and whatever influence he had in that movie. Because I know that they like had a partnership for a long time and then they broke up.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I thought, I mean,
like
you know, when I was really young, I thought Anchorman was great. I rewatched some of it recently. It definitely is like kind of teenage boy humor. Doesn't exactly hold up. But yeah, I think Other Guys still holds up. And Big Short, I just didn't like I didn't get the tone. Like, yeah, I was like, yeah, it's got snappy editing. It's got some interesting characters. I feel like I'm being educated. Which that's cool. Like I'm learning about this stuff, but by the end I was kind of just like, okay, like I don't know. It almost should have been like a documentary. I just didn't feel like. I don't know. It just kind of like passed me by, and I didn't think about it again. And I was like, meh, whatever. Oh,
I'm sorry.
I didn't hate it. That's sort of how I feel about Don't Look Up. I was like, I got what they were trying to do. I think like it was definitely not trying to be subtle. It was trying to be like, this is the thing. Believe it. And so I was like, I appreciate that they were being really like, just this is the message of the movie, but. Like Anchorman 2 is trying to say something about the media, right? But it's also interesting to watch and really funny. Anchorman 2, I thought actually worked as far as like, you know, comedy sequels.
I don't remember that much either.
Comedy sequels are usually, like, that they do 10, 20 years later are almost always bad, right?
Yeah.
But especially when the original is such a hit.
That one, yeah, that one had an agenda. It was like, but I agreed with the agenda, but it also stood on its own. And I felt like Don't Look Up kind of had an agenda and was like not necessarily standing on its own as a good story.
Don't you?
Or a character driven story. For me, I was like.
Yeah, I guess it's not so much character driven, but it is very, like, it's a strong plot on its own, I think, and
it's a really strong premise, I think.
Yeah,
it's like the setup in the first half hour I was like pulled in. I was like, this is this is crazy, and I kind of just wanted to think about how would I react and how would the world react to, like, we have 6 months to live. Yeah. And that's a really strong premise, but then the whole middle was kind of just like the comet, and then that's all anyone talked about, and I didn't feel like I felt like the characters doing.
Yeah, I guess what it lacked was like seeing people's authentic responses, maybe, like, or seeing how different people would react. Like, it felt like it was glossing over.
Or even our main characters, it was sort of just cutting together, like, they're doing this now. And, like,
that's so true.
It was like different. It was like, all right, clearly there are changes happening.
Yeah.
You know, Jennifer Lawrence's character is much more just like become a little bit apathetic because, you know, she was being outspoken and then it becomes kind of this big joke. And Leo, his character becomes this like spokesperson for like science. And he kind of just, becomes
more and more in part of that establishment.
He just becomes like the media, but you don't really get to see them evolve like in the in-between stages. It was sort of like they're this and then cut to this now. And I don't like when movies do that, where I want to see the change. I want to see the journey and like empathize or at least understand the motivation behind what they're doing. But I felt like the whole character development was based on the overarching thing that, well, there's a comet coming. So he's going to do this now. And I just was like, I'm not buying that he's like cheating on his wife, or I'm not understanding it. And then, you know, his wife's mad, and that was probably that was one of the better scenes of the movie, I thought. Like, it was
when the convincing. Wife confronted him.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
It felt convinced. Yeah.
She was like, enjoy taking care of him, and you're going to need
like
all his pills.
Pills at him.
Yeah, yeah.
That felt like, yeah. I kind of wanted the movie to sink in one camp and just live on its own as a good comedy satire. And I felt like it was a comedy satire in a lot of ways, but it's not funny enough to just watch.
No.
And be like, oh, this is funny. It's sort of like, it's just like, this is the message. And I don't know.
I don't think I laughed at anything.
I laughed at the billionaire guy.
Yeah. He made me laugh.
The tech guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was kind of a funny character.
Watching him on the stage. And
yeah.
Oh yeah. He was so strange.
And you need, and he's like, and then it will feed you pictures of puppy.
Like, yeah, like acting like that's gonna like heal your depression. I was like, that would immediately make me kill myself.
Yeah, yeah.
My whole life. And then it shows, it's like, and it communicates the shallowness of that character, which I thought was
whole life I've been looking for human connection. which
really he just doesn't care.
Yeah. So what my thought of like going into it, I was like, I'm not gonna like this. This is gonna be such a politically driven story, and there's such an agenda here. So I had very low expectations for enjoying any of it. I think because of that, I was pleasantly surprised by some of the execution, and then also the fact that I actually did generally agree with a lot of the societal statements that he was making. Like,
people can't agree on the
facts. Well, just like the execution was. I just said I kind of like the execution. I was the premise of a comet coming to Earth and then trying to make the statements that he was trying to make just wasn't realistic to me. Like, for example, one of his comments is that the media is trying to like ignore crisis, which is like not true. Like, I think it's the opposite. I think that the media actually plays up and sensationalizes problems to make them seem worse than they are.
I would agree.
in order to get eyeballs and get clicks and to get people worked up around.
Because fear is a good seller. Of
so yeah, it
well that's more relatable now, but back then when the movie was written, it was really, it seemed like it was much more just like, this is what I believe about an analogy for climate change. And then everything happened with the pandemic, and it's like, now there's all these other sort of layers to it where you're watching it and you're like, is this a commentary on more modern?
Well, I think like, certainly the pandemic, we've seen the fear mongering of the media. Absolutely. But I would even say around climate change, I mean, you see them pointing to climate change as the big boogeyman in the media for things that have nothing to do with climate change. Like it's insane. So I actually do think that the media does that around climate change as well.
Yeah, you're saying the reality is more...
So it's almost like I'm hearing Adam McKay say, like, we're not taking this seriously enough and the media is ignoring climate change. When I'm like, maybe they're just not... Maybe you think it's so serious that they're not doing enough in your opinion. But all I see is people, especially on the left, like, just the constant... pointing to climate change. So I'm like, I think he was kind of trying to call out what he deems as ignorance in his own political opponents, you know, like people on the right specifically. Cause obviously, and so I think that was more his target of like, these are the dumb people.
I think towards the end, it seemed that way. What I liked about the first half of it is it seemed like it was kind of just making fun of everyone, you know, like,
yes.
all of humanity.
Feel like, yeah, and I think there was some of that objectivity, like, look, everyone's like, so here's what I had,
which was a shallow view of humanity. It definitely made me hate humanity watching. So, it I was like, yeah, sure, let the comet come.
Some of the statements that I think were being made that I kind of agree with were, politicians care more about how something impacts their polling numbers than they actually care about the greater good of the people that they're supposed to be serving.
True.
Yes.
I'll say true or false.
Right.
The media cares more about sensationalizing and finding something slanderous on people than talking about real issues that actually affect people's lives.
Yes.
True.
The general public is more interested in the lives of vapid pop stars than they are.
Yeah.
The issues that
true.
That's very true.
And then you have like large corporations are political opportunists who will take any situation to try to garner power and profit. And yes. They will own politicians who will fall in line.
Yes.
True.
With those agendas. So I think all of those things were statements that were being made in this movie, regardless of political affiliation. And I was like, I think all that's true. And I think all that is a huge problem with our society.
Yeah. I think it was, I mean, maybe this is just the way I perceived it, but it was obviously very politically charged, but I didn't feel like it was too politically charged towards one group or the other. I think it was more politically charged at just people who are in power, who are trying to take advantage of other people who don't have as much power. Yeah. That's like, I looked at it more of that generic level than like, oh, you know,
except
Democrats and Republicans. And yes, they did heavily.
Yeah, except for that whole portion of the Trump, don't look up crowd was basically a caricature of the MAGA of crowd. Trump.
But I think he was doing that as a way to, you know, connect it to be like, oh yeah, haha, that's Trump. As like a little character thing rather than...
I know, but it's a little tone deaf if you're... Because essentially what he's saying by portraying that people with red hats and stuff at those and making them look so stupid is he's calling half the country stupid. So like that's...
Right.
You know, so it's like, is that really furthering your message if you're going to insult half the people who you disagree? Like,
yeah, it's interesting. I've heard that there's some people I know who... My friend's stepdad is like very far right, and he didn't even get through the movie. He started and just like, oh, it's like all this like agenda driven stuff, and like then his wife was like, oh, I didn't think it was really that politicized at all. Like they had like completely different views of the movie apparently.
Yeah,
and I was wondering about that. Like, yeah, I mean, does he want? because that's the thing is like if something like this clearly sparks conversation, which is cool. But if you spark a conversation only in your camp,
right,
then it's sort of
what are you gaining?
Right. It just kind of mm-hmm. is like, oh, yeah, like this is to be praised. And if you want, I read an article. I read a headline of an article that's the most like.
Classic.
That's what you do. That's what you do nowadays, right?
Yeah.
You
don't on the
read,
toilet.
You don't
right?
read. You don't read the article. I had just happened upon it because I just Googled "Don't Look Up" and someone was like, "You're not allowed to dislike Adam McKay's 'Don't Look Up' and still believe in climate change." I'm like, "That's the problem. Oh, that's the problem God. Right there." Is like,
wow.
Then you have people who that's
you don't have to listen to those people. Like,
No. But a lot of people, you know, when it's like the LA Times, a lot of people do listen to them. Unfortunately,
right.
And it's sort of like, I don't think that was the point of the movie, but I do understand why somebody could read it that way. And
wait, it said if you're not allowed to dislike it,
like
if you agree with climate change,
if you agree with climate change, you'll said. Automatically like this movie. And I'm saying,
well, they missed the mark well, on it's what just, the entire thing is about.
It's well. Pointing out that the movie is an agenda, and that's kind of my issue with it. Is not that they had this. Agenda or even like that it's a climate change message that didn't bother me as much as just it doesn't that's all it has going for it
right
there's a couple of really solid performances but it's sort of in my opinion really two-dimensional boring characters who when they go through something that's actually human they go through it in a way where it's just like and now they do this now and then you're like okay like they don't earn it and they're like now they went back to the different things so they have right. a journey now and you're like oh
right.
that didn't land like at all for me yeah. it didn't land like but that's the lens I always look like at movies through is like is this a character who's compelling and am I being drawn yeah. into the story through yeah. these characters' eyes and is the plot moving it forward enough to make keep me interested in and I felt like the first half yes and the second half of it they didn't know what else to do and they were trying to do too many
yeah.
filler messages mm-hmm. so I just started losing interest and then once they get to Ariana Grande's concert
that was oh, yeah. so
that
long.
Was so long
I wanted to that shut the movie so off because I just I was like I know that they're
what's
trying
the
to
point
I know that they were trying to say like this is like yeah. where they're at now where they can raise like they're in their camp and they're like, oh, like we can use musicians to have our message
I think what's
out there.
So interesting, and I cut you off, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
is that, it's just I had a new thought about it, is, and my thoughts are the most important.
Right.
Which we all know.
It's okay to cut someone off if you say, sorry, I'm cutting you off.
Yeah, shut up. I have a thing. So,
by the way, I was going to mention.
This is fair. Is it a good thought? You can cut me off if it's a good thought.
It's really good.
What I'm thinking is what really bothered me, because this is what's so interesting about the political division in this country. Generally, we all agree on what our problems are, right? Like all the things that I listed off earlier, everyone would kind of agree with those statements in yeah. general. Like, yeah, the politicians are out for their own interests.
A majority of people.
Right. Like we would all like point at these things. These are the problems. Then the bigger underlying problem is that we're pointing at each other and saying you're the cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. And that to me was what I was getting from Adam McKay in this movie is he's like, look at these are all the problems, which I'm like, I agree with you. And he's like, and these are the people whose fault it is. Because
that's the difference between the first half and the second half
yeah,
of the movie.
Yeah, because he's lying, like, yeah, I think everyone, maybe that's what it is. Everyone's looking at and going, yeah, that is what's going on. Yeah, I do see that in the media, or I do see that in our politicians, or I do see that in our corporations. And you're like all kind of agreeing with that. And then it pivots to just being like, and here's the group of people responsible for this. Look at these idiots. They're so stupid. They're the ones that are manipulated. And you know what I mean? And it's mm-hmm. just like, oh, okay, great. Like, good job. You're just
really sounding like a dumb Trump supporter right now, huh?
Me? No, it's just, I just think it's not, like you said, it's not forwarding. It's not like, okay, no, you had an opportunity to actually like make people actually think on a deeper level beyond it's the other people's fault. And instead you just went right for the same thing.
Yeah. It's something that actually sparks conversation on both sides of the spectrum is much more effective. But I also think that it was oversimplifying. Like, I don't actually think that things are as divided as a lot of people make them out to be. I think there are a lot more people who fall into the middle, especially like in politically. And I'm kind of tired of the whole like, we're so divided. It's like, yeah, like maybe like 10% on this side and 10% on that side. And then people who I guess can't.
Like, well, the people who are in the middle aren't the ones like arguing on Twitter about right,
like
things.
You hear the loudest, like, the most annoying it. On both sides are yelling at each other. And maybe there are some people who believe that you have to fall in one camp or the other.
The data actually does show, like, from the past, I don't know what the timeline is, but the, you know, the past decade or so, like, more people are farther right and more people are farther left. So, like, there's less people in the middle than ever before. Like, data-wise, that's true.
But I think to Mike's point,
I'm saying the data is like that because people are looking at the extreme versions that they're seeing enhanced in the other side, like the other side.
The loud people you're saying.
And they're saying, yeah, and they're going, well, I don't want to be associated with that.
Right, it's self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
So like,
but in reality, what I believe, and this is could be wrong, is I just in my life when I talk to people, you find that you're actually a lot more, you know, in the center than people make you out to be. It's way easier to just go, oh, you believe this about this? Oh, you believe that about that? Oh, then you're this.
Yeah,
oh, you're in that camp.
Making
oh, you're one of those.
Making assumptions about people based off of like one thing.
Yeah, so I guess
like three political opinions.
Right. Doesn't make up like a whole person's thought process and ideas.
Which the bummer about that with this film is that climate change is not a political issue and everything gets turned political. And also climate change isn't something that it's like, well, if we only just pulled this lever in the basement, you know,
it would be fixed.
Right. Like there's not like this singular solution. Like in the film, it's sort of like you either accept your fate or we try to stop it, you know, and we try to stop it.
Like binary.
We try to stop it in a way that is, you know, having our first most important interests as a priority, which is to save the planet rather than, you know, the tech company's agenda is more, well, yeah, we'll stop it, but we're going to stop it in a way that makes sure that we
also benefit from this. Yes.
And like all of those things I thought were really good. And then it's sort of, yeah, I don't know if it's just those few scenes towards the end. It kind of sends a different message that it's like, oh, this is like super political. And yeah. Like you were saying, like this is their fault or whatever. When it's like, I mean, if you're trying to have like this analogy that's like not subtle at all about climate change, like, you know, the majority of people who I think are responsible are probably like, you know, a few corporations in certain industries and like doing most of the harm and like not like people who voted right or whatever it is. You know, it's just interesting. Like,
yeah,
I didn't, by the end, I was kind of just like, what are you saying? Other than like the 1% are going to go to space and start a new colony.
And they're all old. They can't even start a new one. All of them are elderly people.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either.
Have gone through menopause.
No buns in those ovens.
All those things. they're just gonna die like that.
I will say though that I think that I kind of appreciated the ending. At least the scenes where they kind of come together as a family, and it really
he
gets to the point where it's like, okay, we maybe it disagreed politically. We all had these different feelings and ways that we thought we could solve this issue. But at the end of the day, none of it matters because the one thing that does matter is like one, being a family and spending time together and then recognizing each other as humanity and then like sharing a meal. And I thought that was really beautiful. The way that it came together is like,
yes.
No, the one thing that does matter, whatever you believe religiously, politically, recognizing each other as humans and sitting down and sharing time together. Like that's what matters.
That was really powerful. That was probably my favorite aspect of the movie as well. And a couple other scenes where they were just talking, like just being people. And it wasn't just like, yeah, so the comet, like,
yeah.
But the thing I didn't love about the dinner scene is like, they're literally, I just don't buy that people would be in that situation where they know that they're about to die and they wouldn't at least have a moment of panic. They shoot it as if, which I thought was an interesting choice. they shoot it as if they are, what are they even talking about? Like soy sauce or something super trivial?
They're like coffee.
They're just discussing the meals and like their favorite foods. And
Yeah, that's true.
And I felt like that seemed like, I knew what he was, naive, I know what he was going for. But at least like a second before the comet goes through the wall, like there's no no panic sets in for any one of them, or like, oh my god, I love you so much, like there's no sense of like in the last second, like it really, like yeah, accepting, because it's almost playing it as if like yeah they've accepted this, but it's I wanted to see like yeah no matter how much you accept this, like when the chips are down, and you know like that trigger's about to be pulled, it's like you think you can accept your death, and then a gun is pointed in your head, and you're like you're about to die. You're not going to just be like okay.
Well, all of them at the table like are physically like shaking. You can tell. I mean, not just from like the tsunami that was coming to them, but they were like nervous. Like they were like holding up their forks. Like they were like terrified, and they were forgetting what they were saying to each other. Because, I mean, at the end of the day...
So maybe that was trying to show that, like, they were trying to hold on to this semblance of reality. Or like,
yeah, because they know they have, like, moments left. So they're like, might as well just...
Yeah, what are we going to do? Like, cry?
Yeah.
Or are we just going to try
to... Yeah, exactly. Because crying about it wasn't going to do anything. Freaking out was just going to make them all freak
out.
That's
kind of what I
got. Scared.
Was, like, they were trying the best that they absolutely could. Like, they were all afraid, but they were still just trying to...
I guess I was...
Ignore it.
I don't know, because none of us have been in that scenario, and it maybe was the right way to go about it, like, to direct that scene. I just would assume that at least one person would, like, break. And I just thought it felt like a little bit unrealistic to not have at least one sort of, like... snap of like
sure,
because when people are on their deathbed and they've accepted, they still have one more thing to say.
Yeah,
usually it's like that last minute, like I have one last thing to give.
I mean,
give,
maybe
to give,
but it
the
doesn't
world.
It doesn't matter, it like one last thing to give the world.
No, yeah, but it's sort of like, no, I'm not that it's sort of just like I feel like our nature to like do that. But maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know.
One last thing.
I think it didn't fit with the plot.
There's oatmeal cookies in the cupboard. Don't eat them. They're mine.
I think a really like powerful scene was all those people in the mission control room when all of those drones like started blowing up by accident.
I need to be with my family.
Yeah, all those workers is like, I'm sorry, I need to leave. Like, I need to go see my daughter or something.
That sucked.
All of them left.
Well, they know that like the tech guy leaving and the president following. They were like, I just need to use the bathroom. It's like, yeah, right. You
and
need
then,
to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill's character. That was kind of interesting, I guess. Excuse me. Like his mom leaves. He's like, she'll be right back. She'll be right back.
I thought that was the most like character study of any character in the movie. Like Jonah Hill's character.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, what aspects of him?
Just the way that you're getting a picture of like what a young person who their parent is an authority figure, and now they've just, it's like the brat who's like given power And so, I don't know. I just thought he was an interesting character. Like, I enjoyed watching him on screen.
He made me laugh, but he definitely seemed like almost a cartoon to me. Like, he was so...
Totally.
They were playing him up a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so ridiculous. Yeah. And, like, maybe... I don't know. Maybe that's more realistic than I think.
And then she had, like, a Home Alone moment on the ship. She was like... She didn't she say... I can't remember.
Yeah, she was like...
She's like, I forgot
Jason.
About him.
Yeah.
Kevin!
That's funny.
She'll be right back. She's coming back. Like, he had complete faith in his mom for some reason. That she was just like, it was just gonna work out, and she's got all this under control. And then like, he wasn't even though he was totally aware of her like hidden agendas.
I think that's what I thought was interesting, because it's like he obviously has,
he actually had faith in her.
Yeah, he has a window into the diabolical, you know, that they're the 1% evil, you know, that have the power. But then there's still that human nature that's at play with him, where he's trusting of her. And then
I would say naive more than trusting. He's just kind of like doing his thing. He dropped acid when they were trying to blow up the comet up there. He's like, oh, I timed this perfectly.
I didn't even pick up on that.
So funny.
Yeah, I might have zoned out.
He dropped acid when they were.
I mean,
like, oh, I timed this perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the worst idea, because it's like if you're gonna die, at least you're gonna die like tripping, and then
it was
the first time when they first attempted to blow up,
and then they canceled the rockets and they like fall back down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah,
that was so.
That would be pretty trippy.
Okay, just because you would do that.
No, like, I'm not saying like, I would. Like,
I'd do that too.
It's not the stupidest thing that he did.
See? I honestly feel like of the characters that, you know, every character felt like a caricature, like this kind of like hyperbolic version of who he's criticizing.
Right.
I would say that the most realistic, even though he was still kind of out there, was the tech mogul. Because I actually do think that we're living in this crazy age where like guys that have no business and experience making the level of decisions that impact the amount of people that they do are making those decisions right now.
Mm.
Like,
unelected Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, unelected people who they literally, what do? They're intelligent, sure. Came up with a novel idea or technology, mm-hmm. but the effect that has and the amount of power and influence that they have is not commiserate with what they're what they should have or what they've done for the world.
Right, and just like,
and so here's a guy who's just like he's like clearly like a socially inept weirdo, and
he doesn't care about people.
And just because he came up with like cool phones, the world is like, oh, you'll do the thing, you'll save us. And it's like, that is kind of the pedestal that we've put the Zuckerbergs and the Bezoses, you know, it's like, so that actually felt like the most relatable character in terms of like what I actually feel like. Maybe it was the least exaggerated version.
Most
like,
relatable or most
not
like
relatable, but like real, like, real, like, yeah. Like,
which
like,
is funny because he's such a,
he's such a character.
Yeah, he is.
But
like
then
a
you
cartoon.
See, then you watch freaking Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse commercials, and you're like, "That's him!" Yeah. Like he's not a real human.
Exactly.
He's like, it's so weird that this guy is like in charge of so much and has so much influence over the world, and it's like, why are we letting that happen? How do we get here? And that's what it felt like. And like, so these people are the ones that have like the ears of the people who are supposed to be qualified to be making decisions.
Right.
I don't know if it's so simple as this, but it feels like it's because social and political change happens slowly, and technology is outrunning everything. So technology moves much, much faster, and then we have to slowly catch up over like years and decades, and by then it's just too late.
Yeah. Well, somebody said something, or I saw like, I read a headline, but it was
somebody said a thing.
Toilet.
Yeah, I was like, internet told me. It was like, don't forget that the people that we're asking to regulate these tech giants have the equivalent of education of a course that's like computer 101. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we're asking elected officials who are like, wait,
my God, that's insane.
That's so scary.
They're like in their 60s and 70s,
yeah.
And we're asking them to know how to regulate the moves and what these tech companies can and can't do.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like how are they're out of their depth.
Right.
Right.
It's sort of like
we don't have any
Parks and Rec when that company like moves into town.
What's
or whatever.
Called?
I forget what they're called. And they have like all of the.
Wouldn't it be dope if everyone was chill with each other? Or wouldn't it be tight if everyone was chill with each other?
Yeah, and they basically like steal everybody's data and then look at it. Because
it's in the fine print or
right.
Whatever.
It's in like the fine print of like this like subsection of this like crazy contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of work around like the slow government but everyone signs up, and it was like 2016 or something, and they were saying it was jumping ahead a few years. And I bet if you watched that episode now, it would just be like, yeah, that's exactly what's happened. It's not even that wild anymore. It's not even that weird or crazy to think about. Like, oh, what? Our data's getting like used? Whoa.
Yeah. Like, we're like, yeah.
Watch out for these crazy sci-fi ideas. It's like, yeah, that's what current life is.
Yeah. I mean, you started about Olipop, the whole Olipop thing. It's all about Olipop.
Everything ever. Anything we.
Everything's Olipop.
Everything we talk
What's
about.
What's Olipop?
Back to Olipop.
Exactly.
I mean, can we just, can you just sponsor us already? Like,
it's a.
Should
it's,
I try
it's
try, try this?
It's literally like Coke. Like,
if there's one thing that I would buy right now, it's Olipop.
I wonder
it's
if
gonna show up. Ding. At some point.
Hey. I think I have ad block on it.
So, am I really gonna give a plug for Olipop?
No. I was just saying because we're talking about the
it is awesome.
We already did this with the Mark Mentry podcast.
If you grew up drinking soda, but then you don't want to drink soda as an adult because you know how much garbage is in it, it's like. It has a lot less garbage and less, I don't even know if it has sugar. It has like monk fruit or something in it and like probiotics, but the flavor is like pretty close. You know, you drink like the root beer flavor or like the mm-hmm. the cola flavor and you're like, wow, this is like bringing me back. It's pretty good.
The point of me bringing it back up was that you were getting ads for Olipop and you have no idea why.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
It is so weird.
Well,
that
the reason I asked about that is I've talked to my sister about this before, and she's like, I like it because it like knows me and it knows like what I like, and then I get like ads for it, and I'm like, I do like
well,
that
so
stuff.
This is
I got an ad for Home Depot.
See? Owned by Olipop. No, so here's a story. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
No.
Over Christmas, got together with friends and we did a little friend Secret Santa gift swap. And as a joke, as part of my gift, I opened up for my friend and it's like this big container, cylindrical container, and it's ammonium chloride. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And he's like, oh, it's a joke. Like basically what happened was I tried to order like a new collar for my cat. And this came from Amazon instead. So something was, it was a mistake. And he's like, I thought it would be funny for you to open it on Christmas. Just like, ha ha. And we talked about it. Obviously, a lot of us were saying the words ammonium chloride, blah, 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 blah. Well, a week later, one of the other friends, unrelated, not the one who gave it to me, sent a message to our group chat and said, guys, it's a screenshot of his phone. An ad from Amazon for ammonium chloride.
Yeah, I get that all the time.
So all that happened was he was talking about it and his phone was hearing us say the words ammonium chloride and his Amazon account was like, hey, I think you might be interested in ammonium chloride.
Yeah.
And that's so freaking weird.
I know.
And I said, my question to the group when he sent that was, is it weirder? What's weirder? That we know that, oh, sorry. What's weirder? That our phones are constantly spying on us and listening to us and trying to manipulate us.
Or that we know it and don't care. Yeah.
And it's a real question.
This is so weird.
It's like...
It's because there's a slow burn to all this stuff. Like, obviously, if those apps had told us prior that they were going to be listening... to us
well, they
on our
do.
Phones
that's what
to be
all
able
that,
to do the products.
That's what all the accept these terms like things are, and we just go, yep.
Yeah, we don't read them because they're so freaking long. But
yeah, and they know that.
They know that, yeah. But if they had advertised the app that way, like, we're going to personalize this to you so that way we can, like, advertise more products to you, people would be like, no, I'm a little uncomfy with that. But then there's, like,
some
a slow...
Some people would be okay with it.
Right. There's always going to be
because,
those outliers.
Because there's a lot of people aren't, like, I'm prone to always think, like, if they can, they will. Or, like, if they could, they would, and they can, so they will. About just people in power. Like, yeah. And that's just, so I feel I can fall into conspiracies and believe them because of that. A lot of people really think that, like, nobody has any nefarious ideas ever. And they're just like, oh, that's just, like, people are nice. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What's wrong with that? So they're buying me stuff and they're sponsoring for me stuff. I want to buy it. Right. That's nice. Like, they don't think, like, that could be, you know, and they hear the word, like, slippery slope or something. They're just like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, and I definitely, you know, relate to, or I understand, like, when people go too far and they're like, you know, there's, you know, the lizard people yeah. are like, you know, sacrificing your future children than going back in time.
Right.
And then.
Well, they are.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg is a wizard.
Well, let's not make a mistake.
Well, it's like.
Why are you laughing?
Anything's possible, but like.
You should be looking at Mike.
Your tongue.
He doesn't believe.
She's a lizard.
You lizard person. Have you guys watched Inside Job on Netflix?
No.
It's definitely playing off the success of Rick and Morty, but it's fun because it's all about.
This show?
It's a cartoon show that's all about like conspiracies and how all of like the worst conspiracies that you can think of or most ridiculous ones are true. And there's an organization that's underground that their number one job is to pump out propaganda in a direction that they want humanity to believe. And it's all being controlled by like the Illuminati and lizard people. And it's great.
That sounds awesome.
It's fun. Jeez. It's like
reality.
Are they trying to like get people to, are they trying to like distract them from the truth of the conspiracy theories? Or are they like trying to get them to believe in the theories, or is it like mixed?
I think it's just pointing out how powerful propaganda is.
Yeah.
And it works kind of both ways. So they're like, the moon landing was fake, and there are lizard people, and all this stuff. It's just like all these different all these different theories.
So it's
like
a documentary.
Are real.
This is a documentary. It's
based off of true fact.
But it's seen Men in Black.
But it's a cartoon. You see Men in Black.
Goodness.
That's a documentary.
So it sounds like you guys didn't. Initially, when I brought up Don't Look Up, I felt like everyone was like, it was so good.
No, I didn't say it was so good. Get out of here.
Ah, I thought it was.
So we all kind of feel like it was okay.
I thought it was. I could have.
I thought it was kind of clever, and I pretty much fully agree with.
Two in a row.
Hello? Pretty Should much we, fully agree with.
Just answer it.
Oh, well, what's Jai doing? It's his job.
Oh, my gosh.
Mark, you're going to have to maybe cut this part out.
Hello, this is Mark Zuckerberg. I heard you were talking smack about me.
Oh, my God. Hey,
you guys like me, right? Smack Doesn't that me. Feel like that, like the motivation of Mark Zuckerberg is like, you guys like me, right?
It absolutely feels that way.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, Facebook, like, go away.
You guys are mad?
Go back to your mom's pie.
Wait, you guys aren't mad, right?
No, you guys like me, and you're going to like me a lot when I'm a god in the metaverse, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know why I just pictured, like, the only joy, like, he gets is, like, his mom bakes in this pie from his childhood. And it's the only, like, thing that's ever been fulfilling. And like
that's
everything,
so
and like he's never had like a connection with another person other than like that moment when he was like 7, and he just like wants to get back to that for some reason, and like he doesn't even realize it. It's just like his subconscious.
This Rosebud.
That's so sad. I feel like he just doesn't have. Rosebud. I don't know the whole story about Facebook, but it feels like he doesn't have many friends. So he's like, "What if we created
this thing?
It was so he could
where
get
you could
girls.
Talk to people."
Well, if you watch
friends.
Social Network, yeah, if you watch Social Network, Aaron Sorkin totally paints a picture of like this sad, lonely, conceited boy who
well, that's fact.
Just wanted the attention of
Wait,
a girl.
Sorry.
Like basically Sorkin's thesis of like of Zuckerberg's making of Facebook was that if Zuckerberg just got laid freshman year of college, Facebook never would have happened. Like that's basically what you get.
I mean, that could be true. I have no idea. I don't care about him enough to look
no,
it up.
But that's what it seems. That's the picture you get from watching.
Imagine the butterfly effect of that. If he just got laid his freshman year, we wouldn't have all.
We would have had a different version.
It's like
yeah,
inevitable.
All you prude Harvard girls.
It's like the it's
yeah,
like,
it's their fault. It's not that he's a crazy
guys,
creep.
Seriously,
it's his,
guys,
it's their
no,
fault.
But seriously, guys, if you had a time machine, would you go back and have sex with Mark Zuckerberg?
Absolutely.
To
never.
Prevent him from making
absolutely
Facebook.
Absolutely never.
I thought you were saying absolutely.
Absolutely never.
Absolutely never.
If I knew that he was going to destroy the earth.
You still
like,
wouldn't
whoa,
do it?
Facebook's
if destroying
no
you.
One
whoa,
got
selfish.
Laid, I still wouldn't do it.
Selfish.
Would you do it, Cody?
Of course I would.
You wouldn't kill baby Hitler?
No, if I
hate that. These questions are always
I respect
going
Fallon more than Cody.
Thank you.
I just want that to go
to
on
save the here. World.
Yeah, Fallon's
yeah,
got
it's
the
all
right.
Those Harvard girls' fault.
I'm joking. Oh my gosh.
So Fallon wouldn't do it to save the world.
You can't make jokes in this day and age.
I know it.
No, I wouldn't do it to save the world. I'd let everyone die.
Unbelievable.
These types of questions, it's like I always agree with the stick with your initial integrity, no matter how small. The whole, like, would you do this to save a million or whatever it is? Like, no, because that one choice in that tiny...
1 sec, I gotta go get the phone.
Are you getting the phone?
I asked him to do that one.
Okay, so this is the opening title sequence.
He didn't even get the phone. He didn't even get it.
Mark, that's definitely how this podcast opens, is we're talking and then the phone rings and then Jamin runs off.
I forgot you're wearing rollerblades.
I hope that looked good on the main camera, that you could really tell what was happening.
Main camera's probably off.
It's not going to be a good opening.
What were you even saying? Never mind. It doesn't matter. Would you kill one to save 1,000 or whatever? It's like, you don't know the ripple effect from that, killing that one person.
Earlier today, I asked Mike if he would accept a life where he had all the money he could ever want. He could do whatever he wanted with that money. The only catch was that once a week, he had to watch the third Hobbit movie, Matrix Resurrections, and Tenet. And he had to watch those three movies every single week.
Wait, what are the stakes again?
Just that he could have the whatever life he wanted, like
infinite
money, right, and whatever. But he
once a week. I just have to have a really rough day.
Jeez.
Once a week, I would do it.
Rough.
Yeah, I would do it. I would probably
don't talk to Mike on Sundays.
I would probably end up. What would happen to me is I would turn into a douchebag because I'd be super rich. And, you know, rich people are just automatically douchebags, you know.
Right.
No, but
Power corrupts, absolutely.
I would turn into someone who likes those movies.
Oh, you think? Just from watching them?
Because I would just watch them so much that
it would take a couple years.
It would, like, rewire my brain. Right. Like, a few years later, I would watch them and be like, I love this part. Like, it would make me, like, brain dead. Because that's the only way I could get through it. I'd be like...
I'd
be like quoting the whole thing.
you're like insane.
I would finally understand Tenet. It would click one day. I'd be like, this is a genius.
No.
It's a genius movie about time frame stuff. It's a reverse explosion. This is so good.
How many times do you think you have to watch Tenet to be able to understand it? Like, fully by yourself without talking to another person.
That's
about it.
You're insinuating that there's something to understand.
Yeah.
No, the key is to watch it forward and backwards at the same time. And then you get it.
To watch it in reverse.
Yeah.
If I didn't talk to another person or look up, like, what it's supposed to be about, I would be like, I just watched people talk to each other for 2.5 hours.
Well, that's in the defense of movies. That's what most movies are.
In all seriousness, though.
Yeah, but they talk about.
In defense
of humanity, that's what most of life is. And I want you to know that.
All right. Anyway,
let's wrap it.
Never mind. Bye.
No. <that's> just,
we did way too much. We did way too much.
Yeah, this whole ending with the phone and everything was a little rough.
No, but. I would watch those movies once a week, though, if I could just.
I honestly think it'd be a mistake.
You're probably right.
I think you.
But I'm a weak.
But to your point, man. The integrity thing.
You're not that weak.
I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. I don't really care about money all that much. So if I really was faced with that choice and it was serious, I always assume that any decision made solely for money is going to just make you want to kill yourself. Like, someone had a question like this. You know, people ask you, like, stupid questions, like, would you do this horrible, awful thing if you could have, like, $1 million or mm-hmm. whatever? And it's like, some people are like, oh, you'd make it 100,000, I'd do it. And other people are like, well, what about 10 million? And I feel like no matter what, like, that money is just going to be just this representation of just, like, how your integrity, how what it costs you.
I mean,
it's going to be like, wow, I have $1 million, so my integrity only is worth $1 million. And every dollar you spend is going to make you sick. Like, if you have any, or it's not going to make you sick, and you're going to have to accept the fact that, wow, I suck. And so, if I really break it down, it's like, no. If I'm really my most clear self, I wouldn't do
anything.
It depends
on
like
what that.
That
horrible thing is.
This would be great. This would be a great movie plot. Is like someone who has so much money that they just don't. I mean, I guess it's like Squid Game, but like someone who has so much money that they just do these stupid scenarios.
We could series maybe.
Like a series where you go up to people who have nothing and you're basically like, all you have to do is like punch a baby in the mall. Like, and then I'll give you $2 million.
I can't believe
that's like Mr. Beast, the YouTube show, but positive. He just does like happy things.
Oh. I can't believe I could get paid $1 million to do something I already love.
Oh my gosh.
What did I just say about making jokes in this day and age?
Oh my goodness.
No, but like, this is a really dumb, it's a dumb example, but you know what I mean. Like, or like, yeah, watch these movies for like,
wait, give
hate.
Me a real one, though.
Well, what was that movie?
I hate these scenarios.
The Box.
Can I ask
I never
one more?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
I never saw it, but I just remember seeing jokes about it where it was like, the guy's like, if for $1 million, if you push it, and the guy's just like, and he just pushes it before he can even finish his sentence. And he's like, what? He's like, you just killed somebody. And he's
like,
I
you
just
kill someone every time.
Yeah,
you push
he
the
didn't
button.
Even let him finish the premise. He was just like,
oh, jeez. Tons of people would kill someone for $1 million with a push of a button. It's like, oh, I don't have to really see what happened. It's not someone I know,
no
right?
No consequence.
Yeah, it's not my mom. Okay, we're good. Oh, someone else's mom. We're good.
Jeez. Did you see that movie?
I saw it a long time ago, but I remember.
I have one more discussion question.
Why are we still going?
We should.
This is gonna be like a
you
want to
end it?
It's 2-hour podcast.
No, it can
how
be
long
edited.
Has it have
it
been?
Can be cut down. Right. Keep going, Jamin.
Yeah, ahead. We're on fire.
What movie made you guys the most hopeless for humanity?
Oh, this is a good question. We're gonna do a podcast part two because this is gonna spark a whole different ball.
Because
game.
I'm thinking about it because of Don't Look Up, and you know that what you said early on, which I kind of agree with, was like kind of makes you hate all those people. All the people that it's depicting don't have a lot of qualities that are worth redeeming.
No, that's a great question. I gotta think for a second.
All right, maybe next episode.
Do you know what? Do you have any other movie in mind?
Not really.
A movie that made me so hopeless in humanity.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like the humanity thing is what's throwing me off because I can think of a lot of movies that I've seen that made me feel bummed out and like not very hopeful in general. But like as it depicts the human condition is a different thing.
Most movies that do have that type of nihilistic view, I usually tend to disagree with the creator of it or like the storyteller because, you know, I believe that humans are the most valuable, you know,
currency.
Thing. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what the right word is, but
humans have inherent value.
Yeah,
exactly. And so to believe that there's no values.
I have one that comes to mind.
What is it?
Jamin didn't have a formed idea in his brain. And he just let it just.
It's I just, told you I just, didn't want to look stupid on the podcast.
It strings together it as
like,
it comes along.
Seriously.
Sometimes it's just that we lose interest in what. Me and my roommate do this all the time where we start a sentence and. Whoever started the sentence doesn't care about
you
finishing.
Lose, yeah,
so you're
you
like,
lose steam.
You're like, yeah, like it was.
Yeah, you lose
just,
the steam.
Yeah, you just like pull the rug out. And you're like, what? I don't.
That's not.
I don't
want to be around anymore.
Yeah, I don't care about what I was.
And then you have to spend. Then the other person's like, no, tell me. Now I'm curious. Now I need to know. And then you're like, oh, now I got to give you my whole.
Never mind.
I was going to say this, but then I stopped because of this. And now it's, see, I told you it wasn't worth it.
What was Valen going to say?
Oh, about the movie? I was going to answer your question.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the most recent one I can think of is probably The Road, which is a very depressing movie.
Dang, that is a depressing movie.
I've heard that
movie
is really depressing.
Very depressing movie. Can I, like, talk about it?
Of course.
Yeah, don't give it away.
Okay,
I
guess this is in the trailer, so I'll just say whatever's in the trailer. So it's basically about this man and his son
Viggo Mortensen
in this apocalyptic world. You don't know what happens in the like why the apocalypse is happening, but you just know that there's no food left, so people are becoming cannibals.
Yeah.
So they live in a world where they constantly have to be scared of other people around them. And I mean, the whole premise of like what he teaches his son is very beautiful and very like noble and stuff like that. But it just, it makes me feel so dark about humans are just like, they weak. Just want to survive so much that they would literally eat children.
Yeah, the survival instinct is so strong.
Yeah, the survival instinct is like so there where I know like I say this stuff like, but I definitely know that if I was in that situation, I'd just be like, I'm just gonna die because I don't want to eat another human.
Yeah,
like I don't want to do.
Well, that. They run like scenarios like that, like war game scenarios where like what would happen if the supply chain shut down and like they find things that like after 3 days of the grocery shelves being empty, society's gone. Like you have doctors and lawyers who are like looting stores with baseball bats because they're just trying to provide for their
right.
days.
And that's one thing. But then it comes to like
sure, and then you just extrapolate
that. You steal a person's
that.
Child
yeah.
so you could eat yeah, them.
Yeah, you just
like that's
it, just play that to its logical end. Okay, so now you know it's like.
Like I don't want. I would rather not live than live like that. Than have to be. So
that's why stories like Hidden Life or stories about a character that is so stand up and is noble and what was the word that you said earlier is like
integrity.
Yeah, that doesn't compromise on their own integrity. What they've believed, they don't change it. Are the most encouraging because it kind of gives you hope for like, okay, if one person can do it in life.
Yeah, well, that's what
then the road another is. Person can do it.
Yeah, that's what the road is about. But the point is that it feels hopeless to me because it's like everybody else around
so many
them
others, yeah,
is just like completely.
Yeah, it's not the majority.
Right. But also like starvation does do something to your mind.
That's true.
So
if you,
I can say whatever I can say, but yeah. I'm also not in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, let's try it. Let's see, like, we could
do a challenge.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just see what you would do.
Is it a TikTok challenge?
14-day no food challenge.
No food challenge, yeah.
We should probably.
Cannibal challenge, TikTok 2022. Challenge. First one to eat the babies. Hashtag 22 cannibal challenge. What? I just was TikTok.
Oh
what?
God.
I don't. What's the problem? It's this TikTok challenge. Jeez.
Oh, you're making me feel
young
gross.
Woman. Gross. Young woman arrested because TikTok challenge cannibalism. This is horrible.
Yeah. Right.
I'm racking my brain to think of a movie that made me feel like that, like at all. Lars von Trier, he has a movie called Melancholia, yeah. And then he also has a movie called Breaking the Waves, and I've seen both of those, and Breaking the Waves was really hard to watch, but I understood kind of what he was doing and the message, and the ending was actually hopeful, and I was like, wow, you're actually going to have a ending with like, it ends with like bells in the heavens like ringing, almost like God is, like God exists, God's watching and is looking down on this character who just went through like hell, and you're kind of like, what? Like, it's kind of hopeful in a weird, very non, you know, kind of whatever. And then he's kind of known for doing more of these, I think, I don't know, like these just, like women are in this rough situation and men are just taking advantage of them. And then it just ends and it's like hopeless. And Melancholia is just like, it's kind of a more dark Don't Look Up in a way where they know that the earth is going to be
I've seen some reviews of that, like comparing
them.
Yeah.
And this woman is getting married. It's Kirsten Dunst. Yeah,
I've only watched the first half.
Well, some of the, I mean, the opening is like gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she's just so depraved and just so like empty. And she's literally getting married in the movie. And it's just like, what's the point of getting married? Like, if you know, like the earth's going to like, you know what I mean? It's like all this stuff. And, it's so hard to watch, but also it's directed in this really strange way with like a lot of bizarre, like breaking 180 rule and like handheld stuff. That's like just awkward and like hard to watch. coupled with these gorgeous slow motion wide like frames that you're just like, what is am I even looking at? Like, it's so gorgeous. And it was like so polarizing for me, or like tearing me up inside, because I was like, I love the premise, I love some of the visuals, I love like the idea of this, and then but then watching the movie literally felt like being stabbed in like the soul and the eyeballs at some point. I was just like, ah, like, and it just made me feel so just like, like by the end, it was so like rough.
So it's better than Don't Look Up.
It's way more like, it has way more artistic integrity, and it's way more subtle.
Yeah.
It's way more like, you know, thought provoking. You know, but it's, you know, it's a little bit, it's
heavier.
It's rough. It's definitely rough. But
interesting.
I don't know. A lot of people recommended that movie and really loved it, and it made me feel kind of icky watching it. And
that's why
like,
I turned it off.
Oh, because she's like on her wedding day, like having sex with like multiple people.
I didn't even
remember.
Just
watching. You're just like what? It's rough.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, but that's what came into my mind. Was those
oh my gosh!
Movies.
One of my friends just texted me and said, "Have you seen Don't Look Up?"
What the heck? The phones are always
listening. The phones are listening.
They're always listening. Your friend is it Mark Zuckerberg?
LOL. Yes, I have.
You won't believe what's happening.
Literally talking
just
about it.
Just talking with my coworkers.
Well, tell us what he says in response
about it.
This is crazy.
Oh man.
This is wild.
It's going to seem
Do you think
Let's wait for his response.
It's Let's a wait. Documentary.
What do you guys think about the Lego movies?
Oh, the first one's really funny.
It's pretty
That's
good.
That's the next topic
of Everything
discussion.
Everything is awesome. Everything is
So,
cool
Mark, I don't know when you're going to cut this podcast off, but...
Well, no, it's only been like an hour and a half. It actually hasn't been as long as I thought.
I don't know.
Yeah. Cody wants it to end.
Well, I feel like we talked about a subject and then we opened up a whole other can of worms.
Maybe we should.
He says, I think it's an infomercial.
He's right.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
Okay, we just finished talking about it and then we're done. Goodbye.
Wait, he's about to say one other thing.
All right. He's got the three dots.
Yeah, three dots.
You know what? This is like the worst feeling. It's just seeing that and then it just goes away.
Yeah.
What were they going to say? What they
Did you want to say?
And then you bring it up. You're like, what were you going to say?
I have a Samsung, so I do not.
Oh.
I also forget to look at my phone for hours. So.
Nah, he didn't say anything.
He was like, said something
really
personal.
Sorry, Cody, I didn't text you back
Goodbye.
The other day for hours.
Goodbye. That was terrible.